You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
They're saying I should think stuff like this. They're saying
something is wrong with me.
To be so cynical.
Practice.
Welcome to Positive Cynicism. We have some big news to start off this episode. We have been talking about it on the past few episodes, and I've been hinting at it, and it is finally officially launched. There is www.positivecynicism.com. That's right, we finally have a website. It's a work in progress. Hopefully within the next month or two, it will be fully up and running, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It's I'm still learning the ins and outs of crafting a website and trying to figure out what type of content to put on there. Right now, obviously, there will be the link to the blog or link to the podcast. And there's also a blog, which the intent is for it to be a daily blog. And we will see how that goes. Time frame constraints permitting, but check that out, www.positivecynicism.com. Yeah, it's there. Go waste 30 seconds checking it out now. As always, I encourage you to check out the other shows here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, Nerd United, Five Heart, another show that I will not mention because I told the host that I was not going to promote him anymore since he gets promotion across other platforms and other podcasts. So, but if you go to the jitterymonkey.com website, you can find his show. And then, you know, there's every week is a different topic here on Positive Cynicism. This episode being the Question Everything interview segment. Next episode will be the Wonder Why One-Hit Wonder discussion. The first week of the month, I think, based on some events that have transpired over the last couple weeks, I'm going to bring the cynicism back into positive cynicism and kind of look at a newsworthy topic and kind of break it down and give my opinions, my thoughts, and hopefully bring on different co-hosts depending on the topic that we will be discussing. We shall see. The first episode, or the first edition of this new series, I guess, will be in 2 weeks, two episodes, episode 55. Wow, my math is way off. Episode 53, and we're going to kind of look at the recent firing by Disney of James Gunn. We're going to tie it in probably with the firing by Disney of Roseanne. The reinstatement of Hulk Hogan to the WWE Hall of Fame after some comments he made 10 years ago. And, yeah, we're just going to look at how people's past actions affect their current status, standing in society. And I believe I'm hoping, I've not formally asked him, but hopefully we'll have Kevin Hunsberger of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast on this show. And yeah, Kevin, I know I just gave you a shout-out, but whatever. And then the second week of the month will now be, I'll be joined by Eric Bennett, who will come on, and we're going to discuss a different pop culture-ish, probably along something to do with film and fandom. And I think our next episode on that, which would be episode 54, would be we're going to look at sequels and the rise of popularity of sequels over the last 20 years or so, and how sequels are actually now more profitable than the first installment of films in several cases. Don't worry, Greg Mahochko, founder of the Nerd United show, we're not going to be stepping on your toes with comic books and superhero totally discussion, but it will be taking a more universal look at kind of a business side of pop culture.
What is the meaning of life? Do aliens exist? How much wood can a woodchuck chuck? Why do superheroes wear their underwear on the outside? It's Question Everything. In the hot seat tonight, student Miranda Mize.
All right, welcome back to Positive Cynicism. This one's kind of special for me because when I started doing these Question Everything segments about 6 months ago, the plan was to just bring on friends and people that I knew that were doing interesting things that I wanted to talk to them about. But today I have a family member joining me. So I have my cousin Miranda Mize, who is going to be a junior in college.
Yeah, I'm a junior now.
I don't know where the time goes. I remember watching you and Annie as an orphan.
Yeah. Like middle school. Yeah. A long time ago.
So, first off, thanks for making me feel old.
And, well, so happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks. Now, I know very briefly about what we're going to be discussing today, because I remember a couple of years ago, after you graduated high school, mm-hmm. before you went off to college,
yeah.
you had posted something about getting involved with an organization that was something to doing with, because you are pre-med in college. So what we're going to discuss is kind of going along those same lines. So can you tell me a little bit about why you're here? Tell me about the organization that you're involved with.
Yeah, definitely. So I currently sit and am part of PAMS, which is the Peruvian American Medical Society. And my mom is currently the vice president. And what that is it's a group of Peruvians. The one that we're a part of is here in California, but it's a nationwide organization that does medical missions to underserved places in Peru. So there are different missions to different places. There's an Ayacucho mission, a Huancavelica mission, and my grandfather's village in Peru, that's called Churcampa, and there's never really been any kind of medical aid from the United States that's been there because it's so small, and unless you know someone there, you're from there, you would never know of it. And so the hope was initially that we could somehow get medical aid up there. And so me and my mom both joined this organization, and by a lot of luck, actually. I mean, it was my dream probably starting in middle school or high school, right around 14 years old, I kind of really noticed the difference between medical care here in the United States and medical care in Peru, even in Lima, which is really quite a progressive city. I mean, it looks like a city in Mexico. It's not a small village, you know, with, Churcampa has like one medical center with like a dentist that comes occasionally and a doctor, and they do their best, but they don't have the resources or the knowledge that we have here. Lima has big hospitals and it has different places, but the medical care and the way that the government handles health care is so different than the United States, and it was really troubling for me as like a newly teenager. So that's kind of where this dream came from. And I got this award my senior year. I got this award called the Star Scholar, because here I live in Ventura, and the Ventura newspaper is called the Ventura County Star. And they honor a few high school students. And I was one of them, and I was very excited, and I went to my little dinner. And the keynote speaker was this man named Matthew Foster, who is the founder and also the really driving force between the driving force behind RAC Life, which is RAC, R-A-K, Random Acts of Kindness. And it's a nonprofit, I guess, that he started, where they do these acts in underserved, faraway places. And it's just because he really wants to kind of spread love and kindness, and he wants to use what he has to do good. And he gave a speech and showed a video about some of the trips that he'd done recently, and he kind of posed this question and said, so Now I challenge all of you to send me an essay of a kindness you'd want to see in the world. And he left it kind of like that, very open-ended, just a kindness you'd want to see. And of course, me being 17 years old, I guess, at the time, I knew exactly what I wanted to write about. I knew exactly what I was going to do, and I couldn't wait to get home. And I worked on this essay and really refined it and tried to show, just tried to like shove as much love and like passion as I could into this one essay, one page, and send it to him. And I really kind of suffered for like a month, because it was just something he kind of said, right? It was like, I have a challenge to you, and the person who wins this challenge, I'll take you anywhere in the world. And I sent him an essay that was like, I want you and your entire nonprofit to back me in this medical mission. So I was definitely really like pushing it. And I sent him this essay that clearly I'd thought a lot about and I was really, really excited and passionate about. And I suffered for a month, and I was like not sure if it was real, and I didn't know if he'd already picked someone. And ultimately, he picked me. And that's kind of really how it started. So once Rack Life and PAMS were both involved, we started figuring out exactly what we were going to do. And my goal and what I really wanted to do is I wanted to create a lasting medical mission that PAMS could have, and it would go every year, every 2 years, some kind of lasting help, because the government just is really corrupt, and it's really hard to create change in that. But I think this is what I thought before, but I really believe it now after going through the last 3 years. I really think that a good way to help as many people as you can is to go on these trips. Because you really can contact, like you make direct contact and really help hundreds of people without the fighting and the money and the different exchanges that take a long time and ultimately sometimes lead nowhere. So I really do think that this was a good way to do it, and I'm glad this is the way we did it. But I decided it was kind of impossible to do a medical mission there because there was no operating room. There was no like sterile space where we could bring doctors. And a lot of these mission trips do cardiology, or they do plastics. Fixing cleft palates is really common. And we couldn't do things like that because they didn't have an operating room. So I decided that with Rack Life, the random act of kindness would be the operating room. We would build an operating room, and that's what we would do. And once the operating room was built, we could use PAMS to really create some kind of lasting medical aid. But with this one trip where we had both of them, that's what we were going to do. And so I worked on that. That started at the end of my senior year, and we worked on it for kind of a year, and we went August 2017 we went. August 2016 was when started working on the mission. Then in August 2017 we went with 30 volunteers, something like that. There was a lot of people really backing this project. There were doctors that are involved in PAMS California that met us there. Doctors came from Chicago, from all over the country. We went, my family went, a lot of my family members went to support my grandfather who's from that village. And we were not only able to build the operating room, or at least put the money there and start it, but we also did humanitarian events. We helped the school, a lot of the volunteers that came with Rack Life that didn't really have medical knowledge, they sanded chairs and sanded tables and painted. We put barbed wire along the top of the school, which is something that they asked for. And it was a really beautiful event because you could see how meaningful it was for me and my family, but also how meaningful it was for this village that has never really received this kind of help before. And it's really become like my heart and soul and like what I think about and what really my family, like my mom has just adopted this. And so it's really special because I get to do it with her and it's really important to us, but it's also really important to my family. And it's something that's really grounded me, I think, in the last couple of years. And it kind of makes you understand how kind of like big pre-med is, being a pre-med student at Harvard. Like, I have a goal and I have an experience that I can always carry with me and think about and improve upon. So yeah, that's kind of what we've done so far.
Sounds good. Now, how far away from Lima is this village? Because you said it's a remote village. For people who may not be that familiar with Peruvian geography.
Yeah, it's pretty far. It's up in the Andes. It's 11,000 feet up, I believe. So you have to fly to Lima. And then from Lima, you fly to Ayacucho, which is like the nearest big village. And from Ayacucho, you have to rent some kind of van or car and then drive up. And that's another 3-4 hour drive.
And you said you've got the operating room. Is the operating room operational?
Yeah, we went this August, and we had an inauguration ceremony for the operating room. So it's now, there's an operating room, like a little changing room, a bathroom that has all been finished. And we were also able to install a generator, like a backup generator, and security for the entire Centro de Salud, which is like directly it's a center of health. It's kind of a hospital. It's more like a little medical clinic thing.
And is there a full-time doctor?
There is.
So like for surgery, if...
Yeah, actually the doctor has surgical experience. And also there's some kind of complication with the government there, because in order to have an operating room, you have to have some kind of level or like official acknowledgement that it's a hospital officially. So that's the next thing that we're working on, is getting that kind of recognition from the government so that they can perform big surgeries there. But right now it's cleared for smaller surgeries. So going forward, the mission that we plan to do next year will involve a lot of smaller surgeries like ophthalmology, things like that, that also have a quick recovery time.
That's going to be my follow-up question. Is this going to be a yearly trip for you? Is that the plan going forward, or?
Initially, what I thought to do was every 2 years, and I still think that that's a good idea. Right now, we plan to go next year. So that would be consistent with the two-year thing, and I hope that that's what continues, but I think that that's better than going every year, because we have more time to be organized and plan and schedule.
And then is there plans for other villages to spread this out, or are you just primarily focusing on...
When I made the initial proposal, the way that I set it up is so that we would go directly during the time that there's this big festival in Churcampa. And Churcampa is very small, but it has a lot of neighboring villages, and during the festival, everybody comes up. So I think we'll probably keep it around that time, because there are all kinds of people hours away that come up, even people from Lima that come up to this festival. It's a very big deal. And I think it makes sense for us to continue using the operating room that we've already built, because we are established there. We know the people that work in the clinic. We know the neighboring people. We have a place to stay. We have a place to eat. So I think it makes sense for us to make our home base there. But I think once the project is a little more established, people will plan around it and kind of come up to Tucumpa for that time period.
Okay. Being pre-med, do you know what your field of specialty will be?
Well, right now I'm majoring in neurobiology. So right now I'm learning all about the brain and, you know, molecular biology, physics, chemistry, focusing on those things. I have always loved emergency medicine. I've loved it, but I also don't really have that much, you know, on-hand medical experience. So I kind of feel like it might change when I get to med school. I wasn't interested in neurobiology at all until I got to Harvard, and I just kind of found it and fell in love with it. So I'm hoping that I find something like that, and I really feel like it's a good fit.
Okay. So I was going to ask you if you see yourself possibly going back to Peru after med school to help out in surgery?
I definitely see myself going on this mission for as long as possible. Mm-hmm. I definitely see myself blocking this out every 2 years and going up and hopefully becoming one of the primary caregivers alongside my mom, I'm sure. But my goal has always been to help medical care in Peru, and that's even what I wrote my college essay on. So if we didn't have this, I'm sure I would have found something else. And I'm sure with my association with PAMS that different things will fall into my lap, and I'm sure I'll be in Peru a lot using medical knowledge, I'm sure.
PAMS, like you said, is Peruvian medicine. So, mm-hmm. RAC Life, or
yeah, RAC Life.
Do they? Are you involved with any other aspect of their organization, or is it just this Peruvian trip? Or
it was definitely for me. It was just the Peru trip. I think RAC Life is a great organization, and I would go on a RAC Life trip, like go on a RAC somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But I think I know Matthew Foster, the founder, kept saying that this was the biggest trip that they had done, because I had just dreamed up this big plan, and usually they would go with some kind of specific goal in mind, like they would fix someone's house, or they would build a clean water like system. And this was really quite an undertaking and required a lot of fundraising, and it also just has a lot of moving pieces, because it's hard to get people up there. It's hard to get, you know, a lot of things from the United States into a foreign country. it's hard to bring that much supplies and things like that into Peru in general. So this was a big undertaking, and I'm sure that Matt probably will stay away from something like this in the future, just because it was such a big deal. But RAC Life does great work, and I would love to do something with them at some point. But I'm sure they're probably done with Peru.
Now, going back to PAMS, if, because you have said this will be like a yearly or every 2 year type mm-hmm. trip, if someone, say someone is listening to this or finds out about it, is there a way for volunteers to get involved or to go on a trip or to support?
So actually, now that we're planning out what the medical mission will look like going forward, mm-hmm. what we've kind of decided on, our goals for this mission and what will eventually be the mission statement, is that on each trip we want to do a medical aspect, usually a 1 to 2 week medical tour with different specialties using the operating room, but also both a humanitarian aspect and an educational aspect. So my cousins and nieces, they go to school there currently. So I think on this next trip, one of my goals will either be to do some kind of science or math workshop, something educational, or to go teach English. And for either of those things, we need volunteers. And those volunteers don't need medical experience. Additionally, we're going to have a humanitarian aspect. And on this next trip, I think we're going to bring firefighters from either from here or from Lima to come and help the fire department, because firefighting in Peru is voluntary. So, you know, they go and help your house that's burning and they work on a tip. So, but like if your house is burning down, you're not going to tip them a lot. Like you've already lost so much. So it's really hard for them. And they also don't have the kind of supplies or experience that people have here. And it's a real career here where it isn't there. So they actually approached us and asked for help. So that'll be our goal on the next trip. And after that, we'll have a different, you know, humanitarian focus. But I am just starting to figure out how we're going to go about looking for firefighters and really what the best way to provide help in that way is. Is it supplies? Is it just bringing someone? The reason why I think we should just bring someone from here is because it's a whole different ball game. And I kind of feel like it would be beneficial to have someone who has a lot of experience firefighting from here, where there's a lot of supplies and things like that, to go up and just kind of see what they're working with and be like, all right, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. And, you know, teach CPR, things like that, I think would really help them a lot. But we need firefighter volunteers. We need, I think it's probably going to be teaching English. So I'm definitely going to need, that'll probably be my area on this next trip. And I'm definitely going to need people to help me there that are interested in helping the kids and, you know, just being willing to go with the punches. As well as we'll need medical specialty people, we'll need help fundraising, we'll need people to take on different aspects of the fundraising. So there's always ways to help out with it.
I'm guessing is there a website or?
Yeah. It'll be on PAMS SoCal. Okay. We have our own page that'll have our history and something about us and some volunteer information and things like that, as well as, you know, me or my mom.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking while you were talking about the English, teaching English, what is the education like in this village? Is it, I mean, do they have the school set up? I'm completely ignorant when it comes to Peruvian villages, so I don't know. I don't want to just assume, you know, it's...
Yeah, they have primary and secondary school. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, the teachers are very committed to the students and they do as much as they can. And they teach them communications and your kind of basic, like, Spanish, math, English, or not English, math, science, some of those kind of basic things. But it's hard because there are a lot of kids. There's actually multiple schools, which you'd be surprised considering the population. But it's hard because there aren't a lot of teachers. There's like a very few number of people who are responsible for a lot of children, the education of a lot of children. So I know some of my cousins and some of the people that I've interacted with on these trips, some of like little kids, like 7-8-year-olds have come and begged me to teach. And you know, I think, especially having that experience, I can't wait. I want to go back and just teach. If they want to be in school, like, I will be there.
Yes. Yeah, after, I guess, since you've got this one set up, everything's going on, what do you see, say, 10 years down the road? Where do you see yourself? Where do you see this plan?
10 years down the road, I see myself hopefully out of med school, probably in residency. You know, I definitely see myself pursuing medicine. I love learning. I think that's one of the things that I inherited from my dad, but also has like really gotten me where I am now, is that I just love that. So I'll be learning something new. And definitely I'll be still working on this. I think I've really found some kind of passion, a real like love for this project and these people. So I'll be doing what I can.
All right. Sounds great. Is there any last information you want to give out to people who may be listening, or advice, or?
Well, I'm 20, so I don't want to give advice because I feel like that's, I feel like even I would eye roll at that. But I definitely think something that's kind of shaped who I was really experiencing different cultures without judging, but really just accepting that there are, like, there's a beauty to how different people live on this earth and how diverse it is. So I think if there's anything I could say, it would be just to, like, appreciate and spread kindness and love if you can.
That's great advice. Like, that's basically kind of the purpose of this show. So that's good advice. And then my last question to you, going back to the beginning of the interview, I know growing up, you were very involved in theater.
Yes.
So I was kind of surprised, you know, when I found out you're going to pre-med. I always thought you would go off to try Broadway. Is that still, is that a fallback plan? Or have you
given
up on the theater?
It's hard because I was always at kind of the crossroads between, like, I loved theater and I was also, you know, trying to take calculus at the college in high school, and I was always kind of at that crossroads because I was really artsy, but I also was like really dedicated to school, and I think being in college has really given me an appreciation for the fact that you don't really have to choose yet. Like, I'm 20. I really thought that I was going to go to school and that was it. I was never going to sing again. And you know, in high school, I really found a love for ballroom dance and I got really into that. And right now I'm just kind of doing everything and I kind of trust that pieces will fall into place. I actually filmed a short film last summer, kind of between my first and second years at college, and then this year it just got accepted to the LA Shorts Film Festival. So I'm still kind of doing both. And if that's the way that my life kind of goes, I mean, so be it. But I think it makes more sense for me now to really focus on school and learn as much as I can. And I still, you know, I do theater. I'm actually getting a minor in theater, dance and media. And I do theater every semester at school. So we'll see. Maybe. All
right. Well, when they do the Broadway adaptation of ER.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Best of both worlds. All right. Miranda. Yeah. Miranda, thank you for coming on and giving us more information about this. And if you're interested, there will be information on the Positive Cynicism Facebook page, and hopefully by the time you're listening to this, the actual Positive Cynicism webpage will be up and running, and even if it's not, eventually it will be, and information will be on there, so check that out. And as always, I encourage you, question everything and do something positive.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.